This episode is sponsored by The Culinary Box from Quarterly.co. The Culinary Box is like an experiential food magazine. Every quarter features a new chef hand-picking their favorite foods for the box and writing the recipes. This quarter's box features Chef Jose Andres, who just so happens to be one of our favorite chefs here at A Couple Cooks. We're huge fans of his TV show Made in Spain, where he shows how to make foods from his native country. And we had a fantastic meal at his Vegas restaurant, China Poblano. For this culinary box, he's bringing a taste of Spain to your home. Purchase this box to receive hand-picked ingredients and recipes to make and serve an amazing tapas experience. Quarterly.co is giving A Couple Cooks listeners a special discount. Get 10% off your box with the code SPAIN. Just visit quarterly.co/yum and enter the promo code SPAIN at checkout to get 10% off your first box. It's A Couple Cooks, the podcast with Sonia and Alex Overheiser. We're a couple on a mission to find the tastiest, good-for-you eats you can make in your kitchen. Because the way we eat can make a meaningful difference.
Join us as we chase after real good food through stories, recipes, and conversations about cooking at home and eating well. Welcome back to the A Couple Cooks podcast. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sonia.
And we're glad you're here.
We started this podcast to inspire you to get in the kitchen.
So tell us, have you been getting in the kitchen? Let us know over on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook what you're cooking this week. We'd love to hear it.
We love hearing responses from you. And this week I was working on a granola recipe and I put out a plea for help on Instagram of help me with your favorite granola tricks and tips. And we got so many responses. Thanks to everybody who was a part of that. So on today's show, we have a fabulous guest. We're really excited to talk to Dr. Drew Ramsey, who is, among other things, author of the book 50 Shades of Kale. Not gray, kale.
No comment.
So you should stay tuned. We talked to him about many things. One of them is kale, but another one of them is brain food. So the effect that eating well has on your brain and even on your moods.
And we couldn't limit ourselves to just one recipe this week, so we have a handful of our favorite brain food recipes to share with you as well.
So should we get started?
Let's do it.
All right. So I picked a few kale recipes that we've made and loved, but I must say that we eat kale quite a bit, and it was very hard to make the choices here of what to share.
Why do you eat kale?
Because it's trendy.
You're just a slave to the trends.
No, because it's a very nutrient-dense food. It brings lots of vitamins and minerals, which you'll hear from Dr. Drew Ramsey a little bit later in the podcast. And it's so versatile. I mean, you can put it in anything from your eggs to soups to salads. We love just melting it into anything.
Does it taste good? You didn't mention taste.
It actually does. That's a good segue into my first recipe, which is actually kale raw all by itself.
What?
Just raw kale in a bowl.
I'm not going to like this recipe.
You love vegetables. What
You're
are you
right.
talking
I
about?
I eat raw kale all the time.
So the first recipe I wanted to mention was a Tuscan raw kale salad. So you actually eat the kale completely raw with a really fabulous dressing of olive oil, garlic, and lemon juice, and I think a little bit of red pepper flakes. It makes for a very, very flavorful salad. And if you are a little bit wary of eating kale all by itself, it is just a little bit spicy. But once you put on this dressing and cover it, massage it just a little bit, it tastes fantastic.
And for you kale lovers out there, I want to point out that this salad is called Tuscan kale salad, not for the kale itself, but for the dressing, as Sonia described. The kale, you could use Tuscan kale if you like, which is also known as dinosaur kale or lacinato. But I think we used a curly kale variety that was young and fresh that we had found at our farmer's market.
Right. So you can use any type. even though it's called Tuscan kale salad.
You just want to make sure for raw kale salads, it's better the younger and fresher that it is. If you find something that's been sitting in the supermarket for a week, it might be a little bit better.
That's a good tip. The next recipe I wanted to mention is an old favorite of ours called spicy kale lasagna. And you can vary up the spicy level if you're not into eating spicy food, but there is some red pepper flakes that bring in the spice. And then we've got some kale and then the traditional lasagna noodles and red sauce. It goes over really well. We've had friends and family making it for years who love it. So it was an obvious choice for eating kale.
And that recipe has a great backstory. So if you ever run into us on the street, ask us about that.
You're not going to share it today?
I don't think we have time.
Okay. The last recipe I chose with kale is a healthy rice bowl with kale, red pepper, and egg. So one of those fun nourish bowls or rice bowls that we've talked about in previous episodes. This one sautés up some kale. I think there might be some portobello mushroom in there as well with red pepper. And then putting an egg on top makes it into a meal. All right, so those are some of our favorite kale recipes, though there are really too many to count. We love using it in lots of different ways. So send us your kale recipes. We'd love to know what your favorite way to eat kale is. We also wanted to share a couple seafood recipes because seafood actually is great for your brain, as you will hear in the upcoming interview with Dr. Drew Ramsey. Now, we eat mainly vegetarian at home, but we do mix in some seafood some of the time and even a little bit of meat. If you've heard in past episodes, we call it flexitarianism. We'd love to hear if anyone else uses that term out there. We still get a lot of weird looks, but it mainly means we eat a lot of vegetables and then we occasionally eat some meat and seafood. So I picked a couple of our favorite seafood recipes. One of them is a grilled shrimp skewer with vegetable skewers and then some pesto quinoa. So it's great for now. We have the grilling season has begun. So it's very easy. Just throw the shrimp on skewers along with some vegetables, put them on the grill, and then make up a little bit of quinoa, mix it with some pesto, and you've got a meal.
I love this recipe because it proves that you can eat healthy and well and use your grill at the same time. A lot of times people think all I can make is really fatty red meat or hamburgers, but there's a lot of vegetables as well as seafood you can cook on the grill as well.
And speaking of cooking, our next recipe does not involve cooking.
What?
Yeah. many of you may have heard of ceviche before. It's a method of cooking seafood using citrus juice instead of heat to cook.
So that is cooking
the seafood.
It's not raw. I shouldn't be scared.
Good point. That's right. It's cooking with the use of citrus.
Acid cooking.
So what I've included is a recipe for scallop and plum ceviche. We made it quite a while ago at the beginning when we had started our blog, and it's very, very simple. Just take scallops, some lime juice, plum, and there was an herb. Is it tarragon?
It's tarragon. You could probably use any fresh herb.
Yeah, any fresh herb. And then you just marinate that for a bit until the scallops become cooked. And we served it in a margarita glass. It looks kind of festive. So it's a very easy appetizer. So those are some of the recipes that we picked out using some brain food. We have hundreds more over on our site, acouplecooks.com. And we would love to hear from you, your favorite kale recipes, some of your favorite seafood recipes, or even recipes with beans and nuts, which are also really great brain food as well. Talk to us on Instagram. We are at A Couple Cooks, or Facebook and Twitter, we're at A Couple Cooks. This episode is brought to you by The Culinary Box from Quarterly.co. Now, while Chef Jose Andres will be keeping the majority of his Culinary Box a surprise, we have a special spoiler for you guys. This box will include, wait for it, Chef Jose's favorite potato chips made with pink Himalayan sea salt. Now, we know what you're thinking. What do potato chips have to do with tapas? Is that what you were thinking, Alex?
That's what I was thinking.
Well, if you are a fan of Chef Jose Andres, like we are, you know he loves to create incredible recipes with everyday ingredients. This culinary box will include a few recipes that feature potato chips like you've never had them before. And who doesn't love potato chips?
I have a feeling that they use some of his favorite olive oil because all of his recipes use some of his favorite Spanish olive oil.
That could be. Chips fried in olive oil?
Yum.
Maybe. All right. Well, order this box by May 27th, which is in 3 days. So you have to act fast. This box is selling fast and spots are limited. Visit quarterly.co/yum and use the coupon code SPAIN to get your box. Again, that's quarterly.co/yum. Use the code SPAIN for 10% off your culinary box from Chef Jose Andres. So we know that food affects the way that we look, but how about the way that we feel? Today, we're interviewing Dr. Drew Ramsey, who is a psychiatrist and assistant clinical professor of psychiatry at Columbia University.
And a native-born Hoosier, I must say.
Good point. He's also from Indiana, which endears him to us even more. He is author of several books, including a new cookbook, Eat Complete, where he talks about the effect of food on our brain and our moods. We caught up with him and he shared some wonderful ideas of recipes and information on how what we eat affects how we feel. Here he is. Dr. Drew Ramsey, welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you, guys. Very great to be here with you.
So you are a psychiatrist. You're also assistant clinical professor of psychiatry at Columbia University, and you've written a few books, one of which is called 50 Shades of Kale, which we found a very entertaining title. Can you tell us how that came about?
Yeah, sure. I'm glad you enjoyed the book. Thank you so much. I just happened to see that kale wave coming, I guess. I was living down in the West Village in New York City, and had recently published The Happiness Diet, my first book, which was, you know, a more serious book, a lot of research on how food has changed my first book. So I think just, a big project. And I noticed that there were a number of kale varietals. And we were shopping at that point. We moved in right next to a great small farmer's market. There was a farmer there, Farmer Dave, who runs Muddy Farm about an hour north of the city. And he had, you know, one year he had three, and the next year he had six. He just had all these varietals of kale. And I don't know, just kind of put two and two together, and the, you know, sort of popped into my head, along with this tagline, don't get rough, get roughage, which the publisher didn't pick up. But I just thought it was sort of funny, this idea that, you know, people were becoming so infatuated almost with kale. And I got really curious why that was. This was, gosh, in 2012. And so kale was really starting to, actually it was in 2011 now that I think about it. So kale was really starting to kind of pop. All the restaurants were having kale salads, we're seeing more kale chips. And I don't know, it just struck me as a, you know, interesting movement from the standpoint of why kale was getting so popular. And part of the reason behind that was that we're all paying so much more attention to what we eat, and so many more folks are cooking at home and really understanding food as the foundation of their health. And so I realized that kale had these lessons, as it were, to teach eaters.
So which came first, 50 Shades of Gray or 50 Shades of Kale?
Well, 50 Shades of Gray came first. I mean, that was the inspiration, really. And
even before that, 50 Shades of... So she didn't steal your thunder.
No, 50 Shades of Chicken actually even came out a few months before 50 Shades of Kale. And so,
you know, what? I think I saw that book in a bookstore and I was slightly disturbed.
And there's also 50 Shades of Bacon. So there is a whole 50 Shades genre of cookbooks, actually. But the 50 Shades of Kale, I thought, was... It was fun because it picked up on this notion of how phenomena occur and how random they are, but then how much they can shift things. So since we wrote 50 Shades of Kale, we then subsequently launched a nonprofit called National Kale Day. And And that's been really amazing to see how a simple vegetable like kale can really change a food system. That kale consumption is up about 710% over the last 4 years. And last year for National Kale Day, we had a number of public school systems, the entire school system served kale. So the LA public school system, all the schools in LA served 11,181 pounds of kale last year on National Kale Day. The New York City public schools, all of them serve kale. And so overall, we think about between 600,000 and a million kids eat kale in a public school on National Kale Day, about 2,500 public schools we think we're reaching. And this year is very exciting. National Kale Day is coming up October the 5th on Wednesday. And we haven't really told anybody about this, but I'll tell you guys. So we've been in talks, and it looks like National Kale Day is going to be celebrated by all of our armed forces in all 240 military commissaries on military bases in 13 countries around the world. So we're very excited to see the kale effect, see that, you know, as we focus on simple, nutrient-dense foods that are flexible and fun in the kitchen and easy to grow, that everyone can afford, that those types of food really can both transform our personal health, but also transform how we think about feeding ourselves, taking care of our students, taking care of our soldiers, taking care of our family members. It's been it's been just a great time we've been having with Her Majesty the Queen of Greens.
Yeah, it's definitely part of our story, and I love the idea of troops getting kale chips in their MREs. So, what are the top, say, two or three bullet points that makes kale so great for our health?
Well, so the first is nutrient density. So 33 calories in a cup of raw kale. And with those 33 calories, nutrient density is the idea you get more bang for your buck, meaning more nutrients per calorie in certain foods. And so kale has, for just 33 calories, you get over 600% of your vitamin K. You get 134% of your daily need of vitamin C. You get over 200% of your daily need of vitamin A. On top of that, you get lots of fiber, 2 grams of protein, lots of antioxidants, polyphenols, flavanols, things like sulforaphane, these phytonutrients that we really understand as having very important signaling functions. You get a great dose of calcium. Actually, there's more absorbable, the calcium in kale is more absorbable than dairy, which is very surprising to people, was surprising to me. You get folate, vitamin B9, so just lots and lots of nutrients for not a lot of calories. And so that really, I think, is the, in my mind, top reason kale is so good for you. Secondly, just flexible. If you come to my house, you could, you know, we could have some kale and eggs in the morning. Maybe I'll put a little kale in our smoothie. We could have some kale pesto in the afternoon, or a kale salad. We have kale soup. You could have a little kale hito.
Plus, it's easier to grow some kale in your garden than a cow. So glad to hear that about calcium.
Yeah, it's one of those surprising, people often think the only source of calcium is dairy. Now, there are a lot, you know, I still like dairy as a food group. That's maybe not the most popular or decision right now, but based on the evidence I see, and you know, especially if you go with some of these new grass-fed yogurts, one of my favorite yogurts is in great yogurt in Indianapolis, the Trader's Point Creamery, right? Just as yes. You know, been doing grass-fed yogurt. Actually, we even get that in New York City. All examples, be it grass-fed yogurt or kale or lentils or beans or some of the what I call sensible seafood that we really focus on and eat complete, these are all examples of really, really nutrient-dense foods. And those are the ones we want people eating, because if you eat more nutrient-dense foods, you're getting all of the nutrients that your brain and body need for fewer calories. That's going to lead to you being a healthy weight. And that's really eating those nutrient-dense foods is really the first step for most people for, you know, health transformation, or really transforming your health and feeling your optimal health.
So you mentioned Eat Complete, which is your new book, which launches when?
It launches tomorrow, actually.
All right.
I'm holding a copy in my hand right now, and Tuesday, May 17th. It's a date that I've been looking forward to for a long time. So it's going to be fun.
Fantastic.
Tomorrow. We're doing a big, I'm here at the American Psychiatric Association annual meeting. A couple of colleagues, Dr. Emily Deans, who writes a great blog called Evolutionary Psychiatry, and one of our colleagues, Dr. Laura Lachance, who's a psychiatrist at the University of Toronto. We're going to be talking to, you know, we hope 500 to 800 psychiatrists about food and mental health. How do you assess food in a patient? How do you prescribe some food? How do you help people? Along with the other interventions we often have in psychiatry of psychotherapy or medications, helping patients eat the right foods is really quite critical in terms of complete treatment.
Right. And that's why we wanted to have you on the show. There's kind of a term out there called brain food. And it sounds like that the foods that you eat can have a big effect on your brain, and not only your brain, but your mood and or anxiety or depression.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The brain food effect. So for about a decade, there's been a lot of science coming out looking at things like the risk of depression or the risk of dementia, and finding really clear correlations with someone's dietary pattern, meaning that if you're eating the Western diet, right, a diet that is, you know, burgers, fries, beer, low-fat yogurt, skim milk on breakfast cereal, you know, a lot of beige foods, not a lot of nutrient-dense foods, not a lot of what we call rainbows, right, colorful vegetables. Individuals who eat that in that pattern have a increased risk of depression by between 20 and 50%. And when we eat more, most of the studies look at the Mediterranean diet, but there are several trials also of Japanese diet or the Norwegian diet, but, you know, traditional diets. When we eat, you know, real whole foods and we cook them ourselves, there is a protection from depression, about 40 to 50% reduction in the risk. Same thing happens if you look at things like mild cognitive impairment and dementia. There's about a 40% decreased risk of getting those disorders if you eat, again, nutrient-dense whole foods, like the foods that I focus on and eat complete. So based on that data, I started talking to all my patients about food maybe about 10 years ago. But what I sort of increasingly saw was a lot of confusion. Folks really aren't quite sure who to trust. You know, is gluten evil? Is dairy evil? I mean, there's a lot of finger-pointing at different nutrients and different foods. And I really wanted to help my patients fill their plate and help people fill their plate. And that's really the goal of Eat Complete, is to look at what nutrients. The book is focused on 21 nutrients that fuel brain power, boost weight loss, and transform your health. And to look at each of those nutrients and give people the real facts. I mean, so many folks have just gotten a lot of misinformation about things like fats or something like cholesterol. And so I wanted to focus on these 21 nutrients that are most critical and then give people the top foods that contain those nutrients, so again, the most nutrient density, and then give them great recipes. So the book is organized that, you know, you can understand what magnesium does for your body or what omega-3 fats do for your brain, and then what are the top food sources of those, and then what are the top recipes in the book. So great things. Like, I have a pizza where a slice of pizza gives you over 200% of your daily need of vitamin B12. That's not your typical pizza. But really the goal is to help people incorporate these nutrient-dense foods into their life.
So let's geek out about recipes a little bit. What should we be eating, and what are some of the top recipes that you'd recommend from the book?
Oh boy, the book was so much fun because the recipes are so delicious. I worked with Chef Jennifer Easterlo, who's just an amazing chef, really fun to work with. She's done, I mean, if you name a top cookbook, she was probably involved with it. We had a great time co-authoring 50 Shades of Kale together. And so I came to her with this list of foods, and it was really, and a few spices. And with the mandate, I really wanted the book to be very similar to how we cook in our house, which is very simply. I mean, I would say most of the meals we make, we use a cast iron skillet and a cookie sheet and my chef's knife. And that's about it. And I didn't want people to feel, I hear so often people feel they don't know what to cook, or they feel intimidated, or it takes too much time, or it costs too much money. I think all those things are myths. I think once you get yourself oriented and organized, it is very, very easy to pull off getting all of your nutrients from food. So for that, in the book, I really love the smoothie recipes because they're a bunch of different colors, from a bright blue of a minty blueberry smoothie to the kiwi brain, kiwi green smoothie, which is just blew my mind when I saw the recipe. It's 4 cups of greens and 2 kiwis is the base of it.
Oh, wow.
And I thought this is, the first of all, not going to blend. And it's got some grass-fed yogurt or kefir in there. And then sort of a signature in all my smoothies is seeds and nuts. I really want to make sure people aren't getting a sugar bomb in their smoothie, where a lot of people just, you know, it's sort of a mango, pineapple, strawberry, low-fat yogurt, you know, sugar bomb. that never fills people up and is really missing some of those key nutrients. So I wanted to give people a full palette of colors, a beautiful orange, a pumpkin turmeric, a ginger smoothie, which is really delicious. So I love those for the colors. And then for the plants, really help people with, you know, more than kale, some great cauliflower recipes, a cauliflower steak, a cauliflower mash, some wonderful salads. And so that's kind of step one. And I go through these principles of eating in the book, which the book also includes my assessment that I use in clinical practice to kind of help people march through their day as an eater and understand what their challenges are and what some solutions are. The other things that I prescribe a lot of in my practice are the bivalves, mussels, oysters, and clams. So that piece of pizza that I mentioned earlier, it's a kale pesto clam pizza that's topped with microgreens. And so it's this really garlicky, delicious, savory pizza. The clams have this really nice kind of saltiness. They're just kind of chopped up and sprinkled throughout the pie. But just, you know, an example, that's kind of a classic Drew Ramsey brain food dish, right? You're going to see a lot of greens and a lot of seafood. And one of the reasons I focus so much on seafood is I myself really struggled to eat seafood. I was a vegetarian for about 15 years. When I moved to New York, I really didn't eat much seafood at all. And just over the last 10, 12 years, really learned both to appreciate and enjoy seafood, but to cook all kinds of different seafood. And I find that, you know, because they're so nutrient dense, oysters, mussels, and clams are something that most people aren't eating or think of as a bottom feeder or like, but don't know how to prepare. And for anybody who's listening, who, you know, who's steamed mussels, I mean, it's as easy as it gets for cooking. So helping people with those, and also the fatty fish, wild salmon, anchovies, sardines, again, things that, you know, some folks, you say anchovies and they just kind of wrinkle their nose and they think about anchovies on pizza, but they don't think about like a real salad, Caesar salad dressing with lots of, you know, lemon zest, lemon juice, and fresh garlic, and a chopped up tin of anchovies.
We're getting very hungry over here.
You asked me, you know, there's 100 recipes, so I thought, you know, they're all my favorites. I mean, I can't leave any out, so.
And speaking of, we actually just made one of your recipes the other day. Speaking of seafood, we had the truffled egg with the smoked salmon and greens, and it was fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, people, for folks listening, that recipe will, if you guys don't post that one, the Daily Meal, I just demoed that recipe for them. And again, great example of a really, really easy recipe. Basically, it's a fried egg that you drizzle a little truffle oil on. And if you don't have truffle oil, you can skip that step, sprinkle some paprika on there. Key to frying an egg well is to not get the pan too hot, because you don't want to, a lot of people really overcook their eggs. And then it's just a red onion, some wilted watercress, you know, do that in a pan for just a couple minutes, and some lox, again, wild salmon lox. So if you think about somebody exiting breakfast having eaten that, they're going to be really dosed on healthy, healthy fats and proteins from the eggs and the salmon. They're going to get the fiber and the phytonutrients from both the spices, like the paprika, as well as all the phytonutrients in the red onion and the watercress. So
what I love is that it's just a few ingredients, but it looks gorgeous. It looks like you created something that's really fancy and fabulous.
Yeah, it's a fun, and it's really, you know, easy, right? Really simple,
right?
Pretty inexpensive dish. Just taking that classic, you know, let's have some fried eggs for breakfast with some toast, and just upgrading it. So again, you see that theme of greens, seafood, and then I you know, I believe that eggs are a very, very healthy food that have been maligned, not based on particularly good science, and that you know, eating eggs regularly is fine for most people for their health.
Most healthy eating cookbooks, you say, okay, avoid this, avoid this, avoid this. Instead, you're saying, here are some good things and here's some delicious ways to eat those good things. And it's much more of a positive approach.
That's, I mean, I'm a Hoosier farm boy. I'm hard. I believe in positive approach, that I don't think it's been helpful. I mean, just look at where our health is as a country, right? We're just struggling.
Absolutely.
Like we never have before. And that's not going to change with the solutions that we're looking for, and that I find so many people looking for, that they're relying on, you know, they think supplements are going to save their lives, or they, you know, they think that the foundation of their health might just come from that next silver bullet medication. And I certainly think there's, for all illnesses, there's a great role for appropriate diagnosis and medications when needed. But, the real root of it has to be food. And I just think we have to do a better job in healthcare of, instead of scaring people and fear-mongering and creating confusion and anxiety, I hope what people see in Eat Complete is my really sincere desire to really walk arm in arm with people and talk about foods that we love and talk about foods that are great for us and work on feeding those foods to our kids who, my kids eat mussels. They didn't the first time, right? they'll nibble on a kale chip. I mean, they're not perfect eaters by any means, but I think like all parents with young kids, I'm trying to build a better eater, and really help my kids have a diverse palate and feed themselves with real food. So there's this, amazing foodie movement happening. And Indianapolis is such a great example. I love coming back to Indy. We should give a shout out to Jonathan at Milktooth. These restaurants are really some of the best I've eaten in, and I've eaten in a lot of good restaurants in New York. And it's just so exciting for me to come back as a Hoosier, both to eat those foods and see people focusing on, this just great, fresh Hoosier foods. Also, so excited then to go back to the East Coast, where sometimes people don't know the difference between Iowa and Idaho and Indiana. And they're not expecting me to say, where I just had like the most amazing dish. That was actually I had a kale ragu. So it's a nice time. The convergence being people are paying attention to food and thinking about food and thinking about local food like they never have before. And then we have just really amazing creative chefs. I mean, I love Jonathan Brooks' sort of story, and I love following his Instagram feed of just what he's serving up in Indianapolis of just amazing breakfast dishes with in-house smoked mackerel. I mean, it's just it's great, just absolutely great. So
absolutely, we feel very blessed to be in Indianapolis right now.
Yeah, it's a big food movement, and it's not just Indian. It's just, and it's so I really think that is going to save our health in our country. That just returning to the local healthy foods that we've always sustained ourselves on.
All right, you hear that, Indianapolis? You are just as good as New York City.
especially with that high. I've been doing a lot of work over at Eskenazi Hospital, where if you haven't been over to their Sky Farm, just to give a shout out to Rachel White and the CEO, Lisa Harris, and their food team, Seth and Tom. I mean, just really wonderful individuals who have a vision. And so, every presentation I give, I show a picture of that hospital and that kale field up on their Sky Farm. I mean, they have a pretty legitimate kale field up there, and they feed it to their staff and to their patients. And I just I love that that's happening in Indianapolis. Just absolutely love it.
That's true. Yeah, we actually did a little piece on the Sky Farm at Eskenazi on our blog, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. We have so enjoyed speaking with you today. How can people continue to follow you and just become enthusiastic with your passion about food?
Thank you, Sonia. I think the best way to follow me, my website is drewramseymd.com, and then I'm drewramseymd everywhere. I'm on Instagram. My Facebook page is drewramseymd. I'm even on Snapchat these days.
Oh, wow. You are so hip.
I have like 8 followers on Snapchat.
But it's 9 now.
I also have a 7-day free program on my website. It's drewramseymd.com/brainboost. And you sign up and you get 7 days of videos full of, I walk you through my food assessment. And then I give you some tips on how to fight anxiety with food, how to boost mood, how to protect your energy, foods that can help you sleep, little snack hacks that can protect your brain. So that's one way to start a conversation and get some of this information. Checking out Eat Complete, it's available everywhere, both in hardcover and as an ebook.
Fantastic. We'll put links to all of those in the show notes. Again, Dr. Ramsey, thank you so much for joining us. And next time you're in town, let's cook some kale.
Well, I never get tired of talking good recipes with somebody who gets as excited as Dr. Ramsey.
I agree.
And I just love that he has good, solid science from the psychiatric perspective, which I think is really interesting behind all of his nutrients. And it's not about losing weight. It's about eating well.
And don't get rough. get roughage.
We're totally stealing that for our own book.
That's going to be the top of our website tomorrow. So check it out, everyone. All right. Well, that's all we have for today. We hope you've enjoyed our show. For more recipes and inspiration, check out our website, acouplecooks.com, or you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook @acouplecooks. See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in.